Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live today from the studios of KKNW on beautiful 1150 AM here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I wanted to tell everyone tomorrow I'll be having a special spiritual free psychic and spiritual fair at the Washington RV Event Center. It's at the gatehouse, just as you pull into the event center. There's a little house on the right, and that's where we'll be having it. The address is 9101 Stillicum Road in Olympia, off of exit 111. That'll go from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then on March 16th, Michiko Hayashi will be here from Tokyo, Japan. She will be giving fabulous Haro healing sessions with her special vibrational machine, which goes back seven lifetimes into the spiritual reasons and causes for any spiritual or physical ailment. It's a diagnostic tool, and she's very effective at it. She studied under Dr. Masaru Moto for over 10 years, and she's considered one of the world's authorities and experts in Haro treatments. She'll be giving a free presentation on the morning of the 16th, and if you'd like to come, please RSVP to me to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. My phone number as well, you can call. You can also call 509-750-9793. This also brings me to my next Galactic Wisdom Conference, will be held at the same location at 9101 Stillicum Road in Olympia, Washington, on April 12th, 13th, and 14th, 2019. We're going to have some fantastic people there, including Emmanuel Eiter, who's a French Hollywood film director, who will be showing his wonderful spiritual films on Saturday evening. Also, on Thursday, April 11th, there's a free water ceremony with Michiko Hayashi and Emmanuel Eiter, the French Hollywood film director, in downtown Olympia at the beautiful artesian well water wells in downtown Olympia on 4th Avenue. There was a memorial plaque that I helped commemorate 3 years ago to Dr. Emoto. He was in Olympia in 2010, and I hope you can join us. That's a free event. The first day of the conference on Friday, April 12th, is free, so even if you don't have any money, please come on down and meet our speakers. They're some of the best psychics, UFO and spiritual people, and healers in the world. The cost for the entire weekend is only $125, and if you'd like to register, please go to our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. We'll also have Tony Rodriguez of the Secret Space Program giving a presentation. And if you'd like to meet some humans from this planet who regularly go on benevolent UFO and extraterrestrial craft, then you'll have a chance with Shirlene and Erling. They call themselves the UFO Space Sisters. They've been on Coast to Coast Radio many times, and they'll be coming on my show soon. They're flying up from Texas, and you'll be able to have a chance to meet them and talk to people firsthand who've met benevolent extraterrestrials and been on their ships as well. With that, what I'd like to do is to play the water song now to start us off with, and then I'd like to go come back with some more announcements, and then we'll continue the program. If we could play the water song now, Eric, that'd be great. Thank you.
どこから来てどこへ行くの何のため
Okay, friends, that's the beautiful water song written in honor of Dr. Moto many years ago, and I wanted to play this part for this short segment. Just a quick announcement. My friend Giuseppe Vitellio, a famous scientist and physicist from Italy, has written a petition on the right to air and water to the United Nations, and he's getting a lot of signatures, including Noam Chomsky. A lot of famous scientists have signed it. Noam Chomsky has, famous MIT scientists, as well as Professor Jerry Pollack, a famous water scientist here at the University of Washington in Seattle. And I will post that link so you can sign it and on Facebook this weekend. But he's getting a lot of support for that, and I think it's a wonderful idea. As you may know, Nestle has said that water is not a private right, that Nestle believes that they have the right to charge everyone for water. And at any rate, we think that I agree with Professor Vitellio that water should be a public right along with air. And I think his petition to the right to water and air is very important for the world. And so he's written this petition to the United Nations. I will be posting it on my website as well as on Facebook this weekend. So please stay attention to that. With that, I wanted to tell people there's an interview, a short promo I'd like to play now with Michiko Hayashi, and then we'll bring on Jimmy Church in just a few minutes. Go ahead and play that. Thanks.
Hello, friends. I have a wonderful lady on the phone with me. Her name's Michiko Hayashi. She's the global director of the Moto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan. She does beautiful work, and we're so lucky she'll be here coming to the Galactic Wisdom Conference to give a beautiful presentation on both the work of Dr. Emoto, Masaru Emoto, on messages from water, as well as explaining the new Katsutama, what she calls the Katsutama healing system. She structures water to help heal people with special structured water for any spiritual or physical condition. And this is the same process that Dr. Masaru Emoto used on about 10,000 people before he passed away in October 2014. So I'm so happy to have you on my show. Michiko, are you there today?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Ted. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, good.
Again here. It's
okay.
So good to be here.
My pleasure. My pleasure. I wanted to, could you tell us, please, some of the events you're having here on March 16th with the HADO treatments and again on April 12th, 13th, and 14th with your participation in my Galactic Wisdom Conference?
Sure. Well, thank you so much for inviting me to your event. I will be there in Olympia at your place on the 16th of March. That's the day when I'm going to give HADO session with a vibrational machine that we have. It's an updated version or evolved version of the vibrational machine that Dr. Emoto used to use before. And Dr. Yoshinouchi, he is one of our co-workers and Dr. Emoto's best student of HADO treatment therapy. He invented this really updated, evolved version of machine, and after discovering the law of Katsutama. Katsutama, it means the spirit of numbers, and he discovered that all these numbers of spirit of numbers are in the teaching of the Shintoism. That Shinto it's not a religion, but culture, ancient culture of Japan, that where we say that everything, in everything, there is spirit. Like water has its own spirit, forest has its own spirit, everything. So we say there are 8 million, I should say, deities of in nature, on earth. So that's this is the machine that I will be using to help people on the 16th, and I will using this machine. I will be making structured, customized water to help people, and they will learn how I use it, and they will be seeing how I do that also. And during the days that, or I think it's a 12th or 13th. Of April, during your Galactic Wisdom Conference, I will give Dr. Emoto's discovery, the message from water, where we are 70% water, so is the earth. And water has memory and carries information, and water is really deeply connected with our consciousness. And it shows, water shows how our consciousness or emotions affect our own health in life and in this environment or the earth, well-being of the earth. And I will be showing a lot of water crystals during my lecture. And also I will give another lecture on Kazutama theory. This is the just what I talked about, the law of Shintoism or law of Kazutama, the number, spirit in number, that is the law of the universe. So people will understand how it works and how Yoshi came to discover the importance of this law of universe where no one has ever discovered. And I will be showing the magic square of the numbers of universal numbers.
Wonderful, Michi. Well, let me ask you the thing about the Hado treatments, tell us some stories about how you've been able to help heal people with your Hado treatments.
Okay. Well, thank you. What Dr. Emoto used to do was to using this Hado machine. He said that he discovered that everything is vibration, even though we cannot see the vibration because it's a subtle energy and we cannot see people's emotion, what people are thinking, but they exist and they are energy. And when we are not in balance or resonating with the frequency, intrinsic frequency of each organ or emotions, then we start to have problems in that certain area. So what we do is what Dr. Emoto used to do is to discover whether each organ or the part that the person is having is resonating with the frequency that it's supposed to have, and usually it's not in balance or it's not resonating with this frequency. Then what he did was he transmitted the frequency to cancel out the opposite of this negative frequency, so that cancels out this negative frequency of the part of the organ that they have, the problem that they have, and make this structured, personalized water for the client, and have the client drink it. And that's how he treated more than 10,000 people, including cancer diseases and all that.
There was a case. Yeah, I want to bring a concrete example of it. It was there, you and Dr. Yoshi treated a lady who hadn't had any contact with her daughter in like 25 or 30 years. And you customized this vibrational healing water for her. And as a result of that, her daughter, she drank the water and her daughter called her 2 days later for the first time in 25 or 30 years. And I thought that was just simply amazing. And as far as I know, her and her daughter are getting along great today.
That can happen. It doesn't happen to everyone because it depends on the how severe the problem is. Sometimes we have to keep making the water according to the change of the condition, but it can happen to someone like this immediately after they drink it too. But I will be bringing some of the Hado machines for people to be able to use for daily use. It's called Kazutama Mini, and with using this machine, people can make their own structured water every day. When you want to make money abundance water, then you can just detect your own energy to release the blockage of why you don't have enough money. Then as you keep drinking your own water, then you will start to have more and more money or good health. Or when you have jet lag, I can make my own water to release that problem of jet lag. Using this small paddle mini machine, people can make their own water daily also. And I will be explaining why it happens during your conference.
Oh, great. Now, how much?
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. How much do the mini machines cost?
It's $2,000.
Okay.
But you can make it for yourself, your family, your friends. So it's okay. Really helpful.
Okay, wonderful.
And it's really cheap because that can keep you really healthy state.
Okay.
Okay. Or, yeah, it has 30 menus.
Could you please give out your website and email contact so people could contact mm-hmm. you for more information?
Thank you. Yes, it's www.emoto peaceproject.net. That's website, www.emoto peaceproject.net. And my email is Hayashi, hayashi@hado.com.
Wonderful. Well, Michi, you do such beautiful work to help heal people on the planet. Thank you so much for coming on today. We're all looking forward to seeing you on.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to being there and meeting everyone again. It's a once a year big project and wonderful event. So I hope many people will come to Galactic Wisdom Conference and also on the 16th of March.
Right, for our Hado healing sessions. Wonderful.
Right.
Okay, Michi, well, thank you again so much for coming on my show today. I hope you have a really wonderful...
Thank you so much, Ted, for having me again. I will see you in about 10
You'll see me.
10 days or
yeah,
so.
You'll be here soon. Okay. All right, Michi. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks
thank
so
you.
Much. All righty.
Bye-bye.
Right.
Thank you.
That was Michiko Hayashi with the Emoto Peace Project. She'll be coming here very soon for her Hado treatments. That'll be on March 16th. For anyone who'd like a Hado treatment, please send me an email to rsvpoutofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And with that, I'd like to welcome my good friend, Jimmy Church of Fade to Black and Coast to Coast Radio. Jimmy, how are you doing today?
It is a beautiful, wet and rainy day down here in Burbank. What's going on up there?
Well, we actually had snow this morning, believe it or not, but now it's warmed up, and we're getting sunshine. And sometimes in the this is a serious comment, Jimmy, but sometimes in the wintertime we don't get a lot of sun, and you see thousands of people stepping outside to take pictures of the sun when it comes out, so they can remember what it looks like.
And you were just here, and everybody right. flying in from around the world coming into Los Angeles expecting palm trees and sun and warmth, and it was like the coldest day of the year in Los Angeles.
yeah. It was chilly. It was chilly. And here they talk about global warming. I think we got global cooling, frankly.
There's something going on there.
Yeah.
I don't know how we can have the coldest winters on record and still have global warming.
Yeah.
It's a strange paradox.
Yeah.
I believe in both, and that's what's mm-hmm. even more of a paradox. I don't know what's going on.
Right. Well, it's hard to know what's going on, Jimmy. That's certainly true. Well, I'll read a little bit about your background so people listening today, in case they wonder, well, who is Jimmy Church? He's a radio and television show host for Game Changer Network, Premier, and iHeartRadio, and the History Channel A&E Networks. He's the host of Fade to Black, syndicated on KJCR, KGRA, iHeartRadio, TSL, TuneIn, and Sprecher. You co-star on History Channel's Hangar 1, The UFO Files, and we'll talk about that, and the Time Travel Conspiracy Show. You've done amazing stuff. You started your career in the music business, producing bands in Hollywood, back in the hair days of the 80s on Sunset Strip, all the while studying ufology, the paranormal and conspiracy theory. You co-host a late-night long-form conversation talk show with a style that's a throwback to the old days of overnight AM radio with hosts like Long John Nobel, open conversation with only the best and brightest guests covering UFOs, ghosts, lost civilizations, secret governments, agendas, time travel, and alternative remedies. Jimmy, what sparked your interest many years ago to get into the UFO field? Did you see a craft, perhaps, or
I did not. Not early on, but I have the same story that I think most of us do, which I had really cool parents. And my mom in particular, they were both musicians, but my mom was just as crazy as it gets, and in a good way. But she, I look back at my age now, I'm 55, and I look back at her through those periods, you know, raising a family and stuff, where she was young, right? She was in her late 20s, going into her early 30s. Reading Edgar Casey and sitting in the kitchen doing the Ouija board with my Aunt Z all night long, drinking coffee. And
oh my gosh.
And I would witness all of these things. I was 5, 6, 7 years old. And, and I was just exposed to a world that wasn't taught to my friends. Right. Mm-hmm. And I knew that there was something else going on.
Right.
And then of course, got me Chariots of the Gods. She had that book floating in the house, and she handed it to me. And I was young. I was probably 8, 9 years old.
Uh-huh.
And then the movie came out, and I hit the ground running. And I've always been fascinated ever since. Plus, I was a child of the 60s, Ted. And and the space race, you know, Mercury, Gemini, Apollo, and the astronauts, and and moon bases and crazy talk. I was into all of that stuff. And couple that with a crazy mom like I had, who was into telepathy and ESP and New Age and ghost writing and automatic writing, and yeah, that's what got me started, and I've never let go.
I'll be doggone. Well, you know, the interesting thing is, Jimmy, you started with Eric Von Doniken's Chariots of the Gods, and that's what I started with too, because my godfather in Chicago, a fellow nice, wonderful man named Ted, who I was named after, Theodore. He sent me a copy when I was a little kid, and so I read it, and it just said, "Wow, this is amazing." So,
that's my point.
Yeah.
In that I just did the 50th anniversary of Chariots of the Gods with Eric Von Daniken at the Conscious Life Expo, and
amazing.
And hosting that and bringing Eric on stage. One of the things that I said, and we had. There was 1,000 people there, you know, and it's sold out and, you know, packed room.
Right.
And I had said before I brought Eric out, I said, everybody here in this room is here because of Chariots of the Gods. And I am no different than any of you. We all share the same story. And that story is my parents gave me a copy of Chariots of the Gods 50 years ago, and it changed my life. And I thought that this was years ago. I thought that my story was unique, that I had the only crazy mom out there handing out copies of Chariots of the Gods.
Right.
And I have now done well over 1,000 interviews and 1,000 shows and TV and all of this stuff. And one thing that has repeated over and over again with all of my guests and people that I meet at conferences is that very same story that you just shared, which is my story. Which is Chariots of the Gods 50 years ago changed my life. And there you go. That's one of the things that binds this community together is we're all here for a personal reason and personal emotions that have brought us here.
Right.
And then we find out that it's all the same story. It's all the same experience. And I think it's great.
Well, I have to tell you this story too, Jimmy, is that it's because of that book that I ended up, I've always had a fascination with the Nazca line. So I've been there twice in the last year and a half. And I went all the way to Peru and I thought, this is what Eric Von Doniken was talking about. And I got into a little plane and at one point flew over the lines and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And he was absolutely right. Fascinating fellow. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Nazca lines, I spoke about it last weekend, which I was so young and I was watching the film and the pictures of the Nazca lines. And it just blew my mind. It was such a paradigm shift.
Wow.
And then I do this panel with Eric Friday, which, you know, Linda Moulton Howe and Jason Martell and Billy Carson and Rabbi Ariel Bar Zadok, you know, from Ancient Aliens, you know, astounding panel.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody on that panel, one after another, when I asked them, what is it about Chariots of the Gods, you know, that sticks out? Nazca lines, Nazca lines, Nazca lines. And there's no question about that. It is an amazing, I haven't been down there. I'll say that right now. I haven't. I want to get down there maybe later this year and finally do what everybody else has done, like yourself, which is go out there and witness this. Because it's one thing to see it in pictures. It's one thing to see the Nazca lines and the entire Peruvian, Bolivian culture that goes back, you know, thousands of years with some pretty amazing things that have happened. And you go and absorb all of that and start to confirm your suspicions or your beliefs or your ideas or your knowledge. And you need to have that confirmation. And I need to do that. I need to close the book. I'm glad that you made it down there.
Well, if when you want to go, be sure to get a hold of me, and I'll tell you some great places to go. One of the places to go, if you get a chance, is the Elongated Skulls Museum at Paracas, which is about 4 hours north of the Nazca Lines by bus or car, and that's an amazing museum. They're human skulls, Jimmy, but they've got these huge elongated skulls, and so you're not sure whether you're looking at something human or not. According to the museum staff, and they've got signs written in Spanish and English in the museum, the local Indians came in about 500, I believe it was either 500 AD or 500 BC or 500 AD, and they wiped out the people with these elongated skulls, calling them threats to civilization. And they killed them all off. And so you find all these skeletons now with these elongated skulls. But that's in Paracas. That's about four hours by bus from the Nazca Lines.
Yeah, it's one of the things. There are so many pieces of the puzzle down in Bolivia and Peru that start to connect these dots together. And that's one of the aspects, the elongated skulls and their DNA. Mm-hmm. And what possibly is going on with that. And then you also have the Nazca mummies that made it into national media about a year and a half ago. And I started to report on that. Mm-hmm. And looking at, and again, those mummies are from Nazca.
Mm, amazing.
You know, what is, and they have three fingers and three toes, right? And looking at that DNA and the DNA from the Paracas skulls and the great work of, you know, guys like Brian Forrester that are down doing this every single day, trying mm-hmm. to get to the truth. And it just may be, I hope that it just may be that some of the answers that we seek may come directly out of Peru.
Oh, yeah.
It may not be Egypt, and it might not be mm-hmm. Göbekli Tepe or some of these other, you know, Stonehenge, right? It may not be some of these other places that that get the publicity. And I understand why Egypt is popular. It's one of my most favorite subjects to talk about, especially when it comes to ancient aliens. But it just may be Pumapunku. It might be Tiwanaku. It might be Nazca. It might be Paracas. We'll see, but it just might be Peru holds the keys to the kingdom.
There's also a portal that I recommend. I'll email you a list of things we talk about today, but there's also a portal at the south end of Lake Titicaca where people do dimensional travel into the hollow earth and also time travel as well. There's actually in the cliff, I went there, when was it? It must have been about a year ago. And there's a place where you sit down, and people claim they go into other dimensions and also into the hollow earth from that particular location.
We've been talking about that a lot mm-hmm. on the show over the last couple of years. And my interest in it is not only from the paranormal or supernatural side of things, teleportation or time travel or vortexes and what the ancients knew and what's going on today.
Right.
Also, I've had a couple of pretty wacky personal experiences that I can't quite figure out myself. And it suggests to me that mm-hmm. there was something going on. When I hear somebody try to debunk or be skeptical or even trollish mm-hmm. in their opinions on people's experiences, I have to step back and just think to myself, they don't understand what some of us have witnessed. And you are not going to take that away from me. Mm-hmm. I'll share. So when we're talking about portals or vortexes or ley lines or magical areas on this planet. Mm-hmm. I can't explain that away. I can't. But this happened to me, and this is a real experience. The story is long. I'll make it brief.
Okay.
And if anybody wants to just go out there and hear the full story, it's somewhere archived on Fade to Black, and I think I've told it on Coast to Coast. Okay. So this is what happened. It was a Sunday. I'm like 20 years old, Indianapolis. I was living alone in my apartment. And on Sundays, I would jump in my car and just drive. That's what I would do. I would get up on a Sunday morning and just go and drive somewhere out into the country. And I did this one day, and I was coming back home, and it's in the middle of the afternoon, 1 or 2 o'clock, beautiful day.
Right.
And make a right-hand turn into this treed area off of Washington Boulevard. Mm-hmm. And this is on the east side of Indianapolis, where I grew up. I knew every street, every house, everything. Mm-hmm. This is where I grew up, graduated high school there, and so forth. Driving up the road. And on my left-hand side, I see this house for rent. And I look, and it's by itself in the middle of these woods, mm-hmm. house for rent. And I see a little in-ground swimming pool in the front yard. I went, oh, man, okay, hold on here. So I make a U-turn.
Yeah.
Come back. I get out of my car, walk up, look into the front window of the house, and I check it out, and there's a pool. And I look over, and next to the house, on the other side of this little, I think it was like a picket fence, is a little graveyard, little family plot in the woods, maybe 8 gravestones. And I'm looking at the house, mm-hmm. and I'm looking at the pool. I look at the graveyard. I'm like, graveyard doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. This place is cool, right? Okay, so I go and I call my friends.
Right.
I go home. I've got to go show you this house. It's for rent. It's our summer party palace. A couple of my friends, and we drive back, and the house is gone.
What? Really?
It's gone.
Oh, my gosh.
We drive up and down the street. My friend and I'm driving there. I'm telling him, you know, it's in-ground pool, wow. you know, White House, got a graveyard next door. And it's, yeah. you know, and we're all into it.
Uh-huh.
The house is gone.
Oh, my goodness.
Up and down the street. And I was like, it was right here. We go to the next street. It's the wrong street, obviously. And mm-hmm. so that's not where it's at. And we go back and the house is gone. It's gone.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, wow. I don't care, Ted. I don't care what people say. I don't care what they think. I don't care.
Yeah.
It happened just as I'm saying it to you.
I believe you.
Right. How do we explain that? Did I drive through some crazy vortex time travel thing and this was in the past? Did I drive through the future? Did I just go to a parallel world, right? And for an instant, I was, you know, maybe that house is still there, but it's just not on our timeline. I don't know, but it happened.
I think you went into you went through a portal of some kind, and you did a shift into another dimension where that house existed. Let me tell you an interesting story, and I should have followed up. This is about, it must have been about 10 years ago. I ran across this fellow on the internet who claimed he bought a time machine on the internet for, like, it was on sale for $399.99. So he bought one, and he and his wife decided to use it. And I'm not sure how it had anti-gravity. It was based on anti-gravity technology and crystals and copper wires, a lot of stuff. And so he used it at his house, and he said, oh, it's not doing anything. So he put it in the back trunk of his car, and he and his wife went on a shopping errand. Well, during the shopping errand, they suddenly went through this it was kind of like driving through a period of they were buffeted by winds suddenly, and then suddenly they came out of this very windy section of the road. And now all the cars, instead of being like 2009, the cars were like 1979. And so they stopped at this store, and they went into the supermarket was still there. And they bought some groceries, but all the prices were like, I don't know, 70-60% less. And they got some groceries and paid for it with at the counter, gave them the current like Federal Reserve notes for like 2005 or 2006 or whatever. The people there at the store took it. But they gave them back all these silver coins, because silver coins were still back in circulation back then. Then they drive home in that same spot where they were buffeted by winds. Suddenly were buffeted by winds again. They were suddenly back in 2009, then when they went home. But they still had the groceries from 1979.
Did he reuse the machine?
I think he did. I think he did.
I want one of those.
Okay, I will see if I can find
it. I need that link.
Well, you know, why don't we do this, Jimmy? I'd be happy to split the cost with you. I'll find it over the week and email it to you by Monday. And then we could have a whole show on time travel. You know, we could
what would you do? Okay, here's a great question. Okay. And I pose this question as often as I can.
Okay.
You got one crack, one shot. Where do you go? What year? One. What comes to mind first? The first thing that pops in your head. That's too late, Ted. One shot. That's it.
Okay. The first thing that comes to my head is a personal thing. I would go back to the middle 70s or early 70s, and I go fishing with my dad on our favorite lake outside of Olympia, Washington, Black Lake, where we used to get lots of trout back then. The lake was clean, and it was fun. That's what I go back to, a time with my dad fishing.
See, that's what popped in your mind first, and you should do that.
Yeah.
I think that I need to finally put to bed the construction of the pyramids. But this is the problem with that. Okay. We don't really know the year.
Right. That's true. Right.
And so I could show up at 2500 BC and they're already built.
Right.
And so I may lose that one shot. So do I go back to 10,000 BC to see if the Sphinx is there and see, you know, what's going on at the Giza Plateau?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I would like to try to figure out, but I don't have the date and time.
Yeah.
You have the date and time. You know where to go. But I would like to find out how they built the Great Pyramid. That's why I would really like to just sit there and witness that, so I could come back and go, okay.
And and bring a good recorder and record some interviews.
Absolutely, that would be my thing. The time travel aspect of things, which has been a huge subject on the show, and I've had a lot of physicists and PhDs on to discuss this.
Right.
And one of the there's two aspects to time travel, obviously. Mm-hmm. There's one that's going forward and one that's going backwards.
Right.
Einstein has written and theoretically proven that time travel into the future is easy.
Mm-hmm.
Easy. Right. All you got to do is travel at the speed of light. So you get on a ship,
right.
You and I, Ted, you know, we get on our starship and we're on the bridge and we take off from Earth and we go 10 years in one direction at the speed of light. 10 years, okay? 10
right.
years.
Right.
Speed of light, and then we make a U-turn and we come back, and Earth is now 350,000 years in the future.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we would come back. If we went to, say, Zeta Reticuli, or we went to a nearby galaxy and the closest galaxy, and that would take 54 years at the speed of light.
Wow.
We'd come back and Earth would be 2.5 million years in the future. You and I would not have aged.
Right.
Now, 54 years have passed, but physically, time stood still for you and I during that 54-year loop. Maybe 2 years of it, getting up to the speed of light and slowing down, we would age. We would age a couple of years. But we would come back basically looking like we left. But Earth is 2.5 million years in the future.
Right.
So we are time travels. No time machine involved.
Right.
Right now, so that is easy. Going back into the past is a bit different and a little bit more complex. So how would we do that? Would we do it in a visual sense where we are just observers and we're not interacting with those in the past, right? We are there, possibly even invisible to them. Okay, and what energy is involved and how that would get done. And this is, although that's complex, if you and I did the easy trip, at the speed of light and come back 2.5 million years in the future, if Earth is still here, by the way, I would suspect that the inhabitants of Earth have conquered time travel. Right. Now they've got the time machines. Right. So you and I would then go and travel back to 2019. Mm-hmm. And we would be able to report on and talk about what just happened on our starship. Right?
Right.
Now that's an interesting take on time travel. The part about that is, which is strange, is why aren't Jimmy and Ted and others like us already here and talking about it?
Right.
And that's where this paradox comes into play that Stephen Hawking talks so much about. If time travel is real, then where are the time travelers from the future? Why aren't they visiting?
Right. You
know, why aren't they vacationing here?
This brings two points. I know I used to watch a lot of Twilight Zone after I read Eric Von Daniken's Chariots of the Gods book, Jimmy. And there was one funny episode where a fellow is doing time travel. He goes back to the time when his mother was like in her early 20s before she had met his dad. And then he meets his mom, and she falls in love with him, her son, from the future. And then he says, "Oh, my God, what have I done?" Because now my mom wants to have a relationship with me, wants to marry me, but I'm from the future. And if she does that, then what happens to me? Do I disappear in the future in another dimension?
Yeah, she dropped his dad for him.
Right.
And then would he just go poof?
Poof. Yeah, and it was kind of like the end of the show, and you were kind of left wondering. Then Rod Steiger comes in and says, you know, welcome to the fifth dimension, and you're in the Twilight Zone.
Well, see, that's one of the – we don't have all of these firm answers with time travel. At least you and I don't.
Right.
Probably DARPA does, and Sandia National Labs does, and
sure.
Even the NSA. But
sure.
there's that part of it that all we can do is sit around and theorize and try to think about this. But one of the – aspects of time travel, which I think science is now starting to understand more and more, and gets down to quantum physics and quantum mechanics. But at the quantum level, we know about entanglement, and we know about qubits and quantum computing and how qubits interact with other qubits that are out in another multi-world, another parallel world to your left or to your right, of which are infinite. And that's how quantum computers work. And it sounds like science fiction, but actually they understand this today. And what that introduces to us is that maybe when we do time travel, and especially if we went backwards in time, that we are stepping to the left or stepping to the right and creating a new timeline. That nature will not allow us to alter our timeline.
True.
So, for instance, you go back, Ted, you meet your mom, right? And she falls in love with you. Well, that is on an alternate timeline.
Right.
You would not disappear because in the actual timeline, you were created. So that you are not altering that timeline. In the alternate timeline, you fall in love with your mom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's as incestuous as that sounds.
Yeah.
You're not altering where you are at, and you wouldn't go poof.
Right.
That every time something like that would happen, you instantly create another timeline of which they are infinite. And like I said, science today is proving that the existence of something parallel and multi-worlds and that entire theory is in actuality very, very real. It's a fascinating time for us in our community to be around. I mean, what a precious moment in time where these things are bleeding over. Science is bleeding over into our little community, right? And our community and the questions that we have not only sought the answers for, but we need to be vindicated, right? We need to prove to everybody that we're not the crazy ones. Well, science is now showing that maybe it's the scientists that have been crazy all along. Maybe it's the rest of the world and our community.
Right.
We've been on to this, and we've been on to something, and it seems to be more provable as days go past. So I'm excited. I really am.
Yeah, it's an exciting time to be alive, and I have to tell you, I'm sure you've heard of this fellow named John Tudor. And I remember Art Bell many years ago talking about John Tudor, who said he came from, I believe it was 2037.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something in his timeline that there'd been a nuclear war around the world during like 05, 03. And he was looking for an old IBM, I believe it was a 1500 computer, and he was searching around junk stores in the 90s because something was wrong with their computers during his human civilization on planet Earth, according to on his timeline of 2037. And I've even seen, like, allegedly YouTube videos of him leaving the planet. There was one I watched a couple of years ago. So it adds a lot of fascinating questions. For the last four years now, I've been in touch with President Kennedy on the other side and Albert Einstein. And I had an interesting discussion with President Kennedy a couple of years ago. What would have happened, what the Earth would have been like had he lived? And he said that had he lived, that we would have free energy by now. Our longevity would at least be doubled. We'd have much more peace on the Earth. We would have advanced further into the higher dimensions. But it was just fascinating, fascinating talking to him.
Yeah. John Tudor, over the years, and I go back, when the John Tudor story started to break back in 2000 with Art Bell, I was on top of it, and I was in those forums, and I was reading everything, and I couldn't wait to get home and sign on to the net to see if Tudor posted anything new and look at his photographs. And then going to today, I have been privileged to have everybody that was directly or indirectly involved with John Tudor back then on the show and done a lot of discussions. But to that end, I have been contacted, and I'm sitting on some info and whatever. That part doesn't matter. What I think a lot of people have come to me for these answers with John Tudor, and I'm sitting on it because I need things to resolve. But I'll say this about the John Tudor story.
Mm-hmm.
Had a caller call in last night on the show that wanted to talk about John Tudor again. It happens a lot.
Well,
to Black and on Coast to Coast.
Uh-huh.
And which is this. That story now, we are in 2019. It's been 19 years.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody has been busted. Okay, if it is a hoax, somebody by now would have come forward. Look, if you come forward with the evidence that the John Tudor story was a hoax and this is how you guys did it, well, that is a fantastic story in itself. That's a movie in itself, how you pulled this off and how you did this and how you brought in scientists and computer experts and graphics professionals and model makers and computer scientists and how you were able to get on the net in undisclosed locations and then disappear without a trace. That's a great story.
Oh, yeah.
So I would suspect that somebody would have come forward and become pretty darn famous.
Oh, yeah.
The other aspect is it's a real story.
Yeah.
That it's never been debunked.
Right.
There are aspects to the story that are nearly impossible to debunk. You can't do it. Nobody has debunked it because they can't. And there has been a lot of fingers pointed at different individuals who are completely unrelated, by the way, where they've solved the John Tudor story. Well,
right.
They all can't be right.
Right.
They all can't be wrong. And that's for sure. The John Tudor story is the gift that keeps on giving. Anybody out there that hasn't checked out John Tudor or heard about the story, I believe his original website is still up, johntudor.com, and all the original posts are there and are archived.
He pays the annual website fees, Jimmy, from 2037 money.
Yes, he does.
Back now.
But it's a fantastic story.
Yeah,
it's an unbelievable story. So much fun. And it's the science and the computer knowledge and of course, Y2K is involved and nuclear war, and there were some predictions that he had did about the future, not predictions, facts about the future that actually came to pass. Some didn't.
Yeah, sure.
It could be an alternate timeline or whatever, but whoever, if it was a hoax, they've managed to keep it completely secret.
It'd be nice to ask John Tudor if we could get a hold of him, lotto numbers for the future. Wouldn't that be lovely?
There was talk in the forums about that, and you know, it goes back to like Back to the Future, right?
Uh-huh, right. Right.
And the sports almanac, right? And how Biff got rich, which was Back to the Future Part 2. And, you know, going back and taking advantage of that kind of stuff. In an alternate timeline, if you are going back and forth, those lottery numbers wouldn't work for you here.
That's true. That's right? True. I got to share this strange story with you. I read about it in a book a couple of years ago. It's a book called Weird Washington. And the authors of this book, Jimmy, they go out and find weird stuff happening. That's up and down the West Coast in Washington State and up and down the West Coast in Canada. And one of the weirdest stories in there that involved time travel, where they say this fellow stumbled across a hole near Ellensburg, Washington in the Cascades, where there was a World War II German weapon, Luger, along with a small silver dime, 1943. But the mint mark was not D as in Denver, S as in San Francisco. It was B as in Berlin. And he theorized that that people from another dimension had come in where Germany had actually won World War II, and they'd come into this dimension, and they left this dime. It's just a totally bizarre story, but it's fun to talk about and fun to maybe. I wouldn't have wanted World War II to be won by the Nazis back then, but it's an interesting theoretical discussion about different dimensions and what would have happened if this would have happened if Kennedy had lived or and nobody, like you said, nobody's been able to debunk John Titor. It's the story is still running still around and nobody's debunked it, and it's like 19 years later.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. And one day, and I think it's going to be very, very soon, maybe within months, but there's going to be something that is going to break where it is going to force the governments and institutions of this world to start talking. Yeah. I don't know what that event's going to be. I really don't. If it's going to be something in the sky or some time traveler from the future, you know, some ET visitation or radio contact. I don't know what it's going to be, but it will be out of
this world.
It's going to be out of their control.
That's true.
Right. Yeah. And it's going to force their hand. And we are getting closer and closer to it. Things like that dime that you're talking about, there's going to be something like that that surfaces. Maybe it'll be something melting in Antarctica and we'll find Atlantis. It's going to be something that will prove to all of us that the world is not what it seems.
Right. Exactly. Well, you know, Jimmy, we've got about a minute and a half left, and you're one of the most interesting guests I've had on in all my time doing this show for almost five and a half years now. And I'd love to have you back on again. This time I'll give you more time, maybe 5 or 6 hours, if you got time.
Absolutely. We'll do one and part two.
Well, we've got about a minute left, and I wanted to tell you that so you can wrap up your awesome interview today. You've really been amazing.
Well, you know, and thank you, Ted. And you and I have hung out a lot over the years, and it, for some reason, we just never got it together. But today we did, and it was just an absolute pleasure to be here with you and your audience. And it's all really simple. You know, what I do is the same thing that you do, which is I'm out there trying to figure this out. And I want my audience to come along with me for the ride. I ask the questions, hopefully, that they want to hear the answers for.
Sure.
And we'll continue this journey and this quest together. And that's it. I'm out there trying to fight the good fight for all of us.
Well, thanks so much, Jimmy. Could you give us your website again so people could find out more information about your wonderful programs?
It's about as easy as it gets. Okay. JimmyChurchRadio.com.
Wow. JimmyChurchRadio.com.
Also, you know, it's very simple too. Just follow me on Twitter @JChurchRadio. And I'm a big social media guy, and everything that we do, all the events, everything that we do is up on Twitter. So you can do that as well.
Well, let me know in the future when you have events how I can help promote you, Jimmy. And I just want to thank you so much for coming on today. It's been incredible having you on.